This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
An obstruction case typically has two aspects to it. One, there's usually an underlying criminality.
Stop right there.
Yeah.
Was there an underlying crime here?
No.
All right, so that's Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, and he's talking, obviously, to Barr. He was on the Hill, one of the allies, I would say, for Barr. It was a nasty kind of day. And once again, as it is always, it's them against us and us against them, the polarized political landscape, as our attorney general and the Democrats especially failed to reach any kind of a deal on House testimony. And that's where we're at, including a rift or a fight, if you will, between Bob Mueller and the attorney general Barr, who used to be friends. Seems like we throw used to around a lot. Kate Delaney on Hump Day over the Hill, and that means we're looking ahead toward the weekend. So you can bet that the Sunday swirl, which is the political talking heads and all the analysts on the tube, will be doing what they do, pulling apart all of this testimony and hammering it over and over again. It was a four-hour grilling of the attorney general. Not surprised, because, of course, this is what it was expected to be. And during the hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee, Democrats looked at the revelation that special counsel Robert Mueller had criticized Barr's summary of his report in writing, some saying he was no longer fit to serve as attorney general, including Senator Richard Blumenthal, Democrat from Connecticut, who said, "I think history will judge you harshly and maybe a bit unfairly," though he threw that out there. He said, "You seem to have been the designated fall guy for this report. I think that conclusion is inescapable in light of the four-page summary." And then the press conference you did on the day the report was released. Barr tried to defend that, saying that Mueller told him that his letter summarizing the special counsel's findings was not inaccurate. He blamed the media for misinterpreting his summary of Mueller's findings on obstruction of justice. So toward the end of the hearing, Barr even appeared to kind of throw shade or doubt that Mueller was behind the letter, saying the letter's a bit snitty, and I think it was probably written by one of his staff people. I don't know, Bob Mueller, come forward. Let's hear you on the Sunday squirrel and swirl. What do you have to say about being squirrely about it all? So, you know, this is just the same old, same old. And we can hammer this over and over again. I watched some of it today. And it was just theater in the round. I call it theater in the round. But it's where you have overacting, and it's like, and this is really what it is to me. Okay, so I represent, depending on which way we're going in this, so let's say I'm one of the Democrats. My constituents are listening to what's being said, and they think it's weak that the summation didn't go after the president. But yet Mueller's report didn't say, yes, the president obstructed justice, he colluded with the Russians, and therefore this is why I think there are impeachable offenses here, or whatever. So this, again, is the we and us and them, you know, go either way you want to go, and that's what you saw. So it was the Democrats' moment to go after an ally of the president, of course, on the Republican side, I'll call it, the attorney general, with Barr. And pinning, you know, some of the senators tried to pin Barr down on whether specific actions detailed in the Mueller report amounted to obstruction of justice. But Mueller didn't exonerate or implicate Trump. He didn't do either one of those things on obstruction. Barr said he and the deputy attorney general, Rod Rosenstein, didn't find sufficient evidence to establish a crime. I mean, so that's it. Democrats cited specific instances laid out in the report where Trump appeared to dangle pardons, offered aides to remove Mueller as special counsel told them to do that and asked officials to lie. But in every single case, Barr defended the president. He said that Trump had the legal right to fire the special counsel, which he did. And he didn't have a corrupt motive for doing so because he was falsely accused of conspiring with the Russian government. So, you know, we come back to this. Whether you hate Donald Trump, like Donald Trump, say he's the president and this is what we got, boom. Either way, no matter how you slice and dice this, Democrat in office, Republican in office, if we're going by the law, then you go by the law. And was there enough there to say, yes, there was conspiring with the Russian government? That's what had to be there. And if it wasn't there, and I think if it was there, I hope, the way Mueller was being portrayed, then that's the direction that this would have gone. But it didn't go that way, right? And so Barr said, it's not a crime. You know, you have, Dianne Feinstein said, you have a situation where a president essentially tries to change the lawyer's account in order to prevent further criticism of himself, referring to an episode detailed in Mueller's report involving former White House counsel Don McGahn. And Barr said, well, that's not a crime. So, I mean, there you go. It really comes down to Russia, 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 and that's what this whole thing was about. So in the 448 pages, is there anything that nails that shut? You know? Booker, the senator from New Jersey, and Kamala Harris, the Democrat from California, both Democrats, both senators, both running for president, left the room, you know? They left the room after a while, after the hearing concluded. That was it. Boom. And Harris was kind of, at her grilling moment, she kind of rattled Barr when she asked whether the White House had ever suggested he open an investigation into someone. And he later told her that he didn't personally review all the underlying evidence in Mueller's report before concluding the findings didn't merit obstruction charges against Trump. So now there was calls for Barr that he should resign. And this is what you would expect. Then you had Lindsey Graham, who you just heard there, who said, look, you slander this man from top to bottom when he was defending Barr. And then you had Senator Ted Cruz, Republican from Texas, saying that the contentious confirmation hearing of the Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, oh, yeah, who refuted allegations of sexual misconduct before the same Senate committee during his nomination process to defend Barr. So he said, you stepped forward and answered the call yet again, knowing full well that you'd be subject to the slanderous treatment. He called it the Kavanaugh treatment that we've seen of senators going after your integrity, basically. So what did we think was going to be different? And what comes out of that that's news? Is anybody fired? Is something changed? Do we have somebody to nail to the wall because of what happened with the elections and Facebook and Russia and their hacking attacks, et cetera, and feeling like they're calling the shots and pulling the strings? See, I see Putin somewhere, shirtless, of course, because that's how we see him with his pictures, like he's on Vanity Fair on horseback somewhere, laughing hysterically because he feels like he's pulling the strings. And that, to me, is disconcerting, that somebody with that much power in another country feels like they're getting one up on us. They love all this infighting that happens. Trust me, if I could be a fly on the wall in a conversation, the most trusted advisor of Vladimir Putin, I'd like to be right there on, I know it's a man, his shoulder to hear what that's like in the back and forth over what's happening now over this Mueller report. Hang with us.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP. As slim as possible.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Time once again for the ever popular We Can Count. And yes, we can count. The idea behind, somebody asked me this, but the idea behind We Can Count is I like to say that everything does come down to numbers. We talked about numbers today, or at least they talked about numbers today, being the people who represent us that were there on the Hill grilling the Attorney General. Numbers of pages, numbers of documents, numbers of times. This was said number of times. That was said. You know, so that's the bottom line. And when I look at things, I look at numbers. In my lifetime, 500 rejections when I tried to get into sports, 16,000 interviews. That's a lot, isn't it? Not exaggerated. I think that number actually could be higher. And number of times I've moved in my life. My mother used to say that, I don't know about the rest of you, but I love the country. That's why I love doing this show, because I've been some of your neighbors. I've lived in every sort of quadrant of the nation, and if I could have a house in every single one of them, I probably would. But she used to say that she wrote my address in pencil because she knew she'd be erasing it because I'd be moving someplace else. But that also was the nature of the business called talk radio and television news and, you know, all of that. All right, so numbers. How about this? A couple of different numbers for you. And this is one of them that is a sad number, but it's good that we're aware of this number. And I have a lot of friends in the military, and I have a lot of friends that are men that are in the military, and this makes them very sad and upset, and they feel sorry for their fellow soldiers or comrades, etc. But out of Washington, word comes that sexual assaults in the military rose 38% from 2016 to 2018. There was a survey that is due to be released by the Pentagon on Thursday. They surveyed Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marine personnel in 2018. And based on the survey, there was 20,500 instances of unwanted sexual contact, an increase over the 14,000 plus estimated in the last survey in 2016. And the contact, by the way, ranges from groping to rape. And you think of the enlisted female troops, they're from ages 17 to 24, and they were at the highest risk, according to the survey, of being assaulted. And the Pentagon is going to target troops in that age range for prevention efforts. So the good news is they want to know the truth. They wanted real results from the survey, and they may have gotten them. And this way they can protect people and look at what's happening. 85% of the victims said they knew their assailant. Alcohol involved in 62% of the total assaults. So that's pretty high. They're going to release the recommendations of a task force formed at the urging of Senator Martha McSally, a Republican from Arizona, to deal with the assaults in the military. Member McSally is a retired Air Force officer, very respected, and fighter pilot, revealed during an Armed Services Committee meeting in March that she had been raped by a superior officer. So while those numbers are ugly, the good news is about those numbers, it's progress and moving forward and figuring out how do we stop that. And as I said, I have many friends who are in the military, were in the military, and it makes them very sad when they hear the story of that. Very, very, very sad. Except for that, moving forward, there's something that's going to be done, and I think that's a good thing. This isn't a great thing either, except for that this is what you have to do. You got to quarantine a ship if people are getting the measles. Church of Scientology cruise ship had to be quarantined in St. Lucia because of measles cases. 300 passengers and crew members were ordered not to leave a ship after determining one female crew member had gotten those pesky measles. So can't risk that in St. Lucia. That's what they're saying. We can't risk it. You got to be quarantined. The quarantine comes amid a surge of cases, we know, among unvaccinated people in New York City, in suburban Rockland County, New York, Washington State. Some of you are listening to me in Washington State. Big area for that. And conversations about vaccinations. So the St. Lucian authorities can't keep the ship from leaving or determining its next destination because the schedule they are on, they're supposed to leave on Thursday, but they can't risk it. Measles can be spread through cough, sneezing. It's not good. There's a two-dose vaccine, and they say it's 97% effective against the measles. I don't get it. I think it's scary if the measles can kill you and things can spread that easily. I understand arguments in the back and forth over vaccinations, but I would not want to be a victim of the measles because I had an encounter with somebody that could have been prevented, and it's the rates are so high. Again, this is something that I wouldn't be thrilled about, especially if I had a child that was in that situation. If I was on that ship, I wouldn't be thrilled about that. You know, again, we know what happens and how deadly it can be. Styrofoam. You know, there's arguments over styrofoam. My husband always says, don't forget you can't recycle styrofoam because they don't recycle it. So Maine, and we have great listeners in the great state of Maine. Maine became the first state to ban styrofoam food containers, and they're going to start it in 2021. And the governor, Janet Mills, signed a bill that goes into effect on January 1st, 2021. Businesses can't sell or distribute disposable food service containers made of that kind of styrofoam because people are saying it's a significant contributor to environmental plastics pollution because they can't break it down. So I have seen this. When they're in the ocean and people are awful about it and they litter the oceans with their trash, this is the kind of stuff that happens, or gets into the ocean and then eventually can get into food supply. Yeah, I mean, come on, there's got to be a better way. There are better ways. There are better products, so just don't use those products. find a different product to use, and that's what's going to have to happen there. So they've got a little bit of time to mess with that. I don't think Maine is going to be the only state that does that. You've got California and Hawaii that have banned plastic bags. When I was just in Honolulu, as you know, doing my show from Hawaii last week, very rough. The every place you went, I didn't even think about this, if you wanted a bag, they'd say, do you want a bag? And they had some plastic bags. They charged you for it. It was like 15 cents a bag if you wanted a bag. Maryland's legislature passed something similar in April, but whether it gets signed or not, that's just kind of up in the air whether that happens. I think we're going to see more of that. Maine pays the way, and when there's some other alternative, especially if it's cheaper and it's better for the environment, somebody else is going to make some money on it. They're going to come along with something friendlier. Then that's what's going to be used. That's the way this kind of works, right? So it's good for now, but it's not good. It's not good once it's determined, yeah, we can't get rid of this stuff when it gets in the ocean and gets into some of these other places. So that will force, I think, other states to take a much harder look at that. How about that? Coming up in September, I will be speaking in Tampa, and I just found out that Tampa International Airport lets you go through security even when you're not flying. How about that? It's an all-access program. They're going to let as many as 100 people each Saturday check out an airport terminal of their choosing. They say it's standard practice that only ticketed passengers can go past security, but now friends and family will be able to spend extra time with their loved ones before takeoff or see them right when they arrive. It's interesting, but it's one of the things that I thought was so sad when 9/11 went down. It used to be, when I was a kid, I can remember my aunt lived in Chicago, and when she'd come and visit, and I was a real little kid, I would beg my mother, whoever was driving to the airport, to go, because I wanted to run out of the car, and I wanted to go through the terminal, because I thought it was cool, and I wanted to greet whoever was coming in, because I was so excited about it. So how about that? The airport picks Saturdays because it's the least busiest day at their TSA checkpoints. So if it goes smoothly, they say they may expand it. And the people who sign up still have to go through the screening, like ticketed passengers, but they can pick a date in a terminal 24 hours before the day they visit the airport and pick up gate passes that day between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. I think good for kids, when kids fly in, or somebody you haven't seen for a long time, or someone older who needs more help, and you can be there to greet them, or just because you're excited and you want to meet them at the gate, right, instead of waiting. I think it's going to be popular. If it's smooth, my prediction is they'll expand it past Saturdays. All right, coming up next on the flip side, Tim Carter. You don't want to miss this. He's oh so poetic with the Word of God, and it is really a gift to be able to do that. You'll be intrigued. I was when I talked to him. You'll hear it next.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over 1 million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Attorney General William Barr faced some tough questions about the Mueller report from Senate Democrats. One issue that Democratic presidential candidate Kamala Harris pressed Barr on is whether he is recusing himself from the ongoing investigations that have spun off from the Mueller probe.
Have you consulted with the career DOJ ethics officials about the appropriateness of you being involved or recusing yourself from the 14 other investigations that have been referred out? Conflict of interest. Clear conflict of interest.
What's my conflict of interest?
I think the American public has seen quite well that you are biased in this situation and you've not been objective.
Some Democrats have called on Barr to resign. The Attorney General has informed the House Judiciary Committee that he won't be appearing for their scheduled hearing on Thursday because he's opposed to being questioned by committee lawyers. This is USA Radio News.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995. Immediately. That's 800-605-6995. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-605-6995 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-605-6995. That's 800-605-6995. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 for your free author submission kit.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Us now, and he's written a book called Living in God's Rhyme. And this book is so fascinating because you know how I feel if you've listened to the show for any length of time about poetry. My father was a poet, and it really pleases me to bring him onto the show to talk about poetry and specifically this book. Tim, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Kate. Thanks for having me on the show.
So the first question is the title of the book, Living in God's Rhyme. When you think of poetry and the different ways you can look at poetry and look at God's written word, was the idea to pull that all together?
Well, it's something that this is my third book with the word rhyme in it. And it's just been, I've loved writing poetry since I was in high school. And I see God in poetry, and when I think of him, everything I see is I can write a poem about it. There is a poem in it. Other people see it differently, but that's how I see God's word, and that's a lot of times how he speaks to me is through this poetry.
So I'm wondering, the people around you must think this is a really unique way to meld the two, that obviously poetry is your gift, and then looking at the Word of God. So what do people around you say when they realize that you have this ability?
Well, I've got a number of favorable comments, and people seem to, they understand it. At least I understand that that's how I express my faith, and realize that, as I realize that, we all express our faith and we all receive it in different ways, but I've had nothing but positive response from people.
So when you look at the Bible and you try to, you look at Bible passages, what are your favorites and how have you worked the poetry into them?
Well, my favorites are the ones I just read. I actually, this book I wrote, I wrote it for Facebook, and I posted every day I wrote a poem, and I wrote 72 poems in 77 days for the book.
Wow.
And what I found was, is that I would start reading, and after a couple verses or a couple lines even, I would stop, and there was something there that God was telling me that I should write about. And that was just a blessing for me, and a tremendous amount of growth happened at that time.
I bet. I bet because you're posting every day, and then you're feeling that, and then you're coming back around with the poetry.
Yes, and a former marketing consultant had said that I needed to be on social media, and I was already on Facebook, so I started another Facebook page called God Still Rhymes, and that's where I posted everything, and people could see me write the book, which was, for me, exciting, too.
Boy, no kidding. What was the reaction to that? Because they were seeing you as it was unfolding.
Well, it was good. I got a lot of people like it. I got a lot of favorable comments, and I was blessed when people would tell me that it was something that touched them. It was something that they needed that time, and that makes everything worthwhile when you hear something like that.
Boy, no kidding. And I want to remind everybody that Tim Carter's book, Living in God's Rhyme, you can pick it up on Amazon.com. I would be remiss if I didn't have you do this. Would you recite a poem for us?
Yes, I would. I've got one that I wrote for a dear, someone that's very dear to me, who had gone through a struggle, and it's called One Day in the World. She has been hurt, left in the dirt. No longer standing on her feet, she lays crying in her defeat. Through tear-filled eyes, she looks up at the sky and asks the question, why? Sometimes the winner is a lie. Oh, she did often try to look beyond the lie, but it was always there, every day, everywhere. Was it a test of her faith as tears poured like rain? Could she feel God's embrace as he relieved her of pain? Her prayers, the prayers of others, the lie after lie, God was loving. Now looking forward, not in a hurry, believing what Jesus said, do not worry. Her future is in God's hands, believing she now understands that without his presence, the world would make no sense. She will no longer struggle as the world would demand. She will wait and pray, and with God will stand. She will turn to God, trust in his word and his plan for her, his plan the world has not heard. That's
wow.
It.
Wow, that's beautiful. And writing that about a struggle for a friend, obviously you must have given that to her, and I can only imagine how she reacted to that. I'm a little choked up.
Yeah, it was actually one of my daughters.
Oh.
And it meant everything to her. And it was something we both, and I find that a lot of times it's something that the person I write for and I both need. Because as she was struggling, my wife and I were also struggling with her in that situation. So it was good for all of us.
Wow. So poetry really has helped your life. And we want to talk about your family because you've been married 44 years. Is that right? And how many kids and grandkids do you have?
Well, it's now 46.
Woo.
And yeah. And we have 5 children and 5 grandchildren. And grandchildren age are running ages from like about a year and a half to 23 years old, and they are a special blessing, especially yes.
Boy, no kidding. And I bet you they enjoy, because I'm sure with your poetry it spills into so many different areas. And I want to remind everyone again, the book is called Living in God's Rhyme. You could pick it up on Amazon.com, and also you have TimCarterBooks.com. So when you do this, and I want to go back to melding that with the 72 posts in 77 days. So when you take a book like the Bible and it's and you know how it's so huge and massive to pick out passages, did you feel like that just flowed easy for you, or how did you, you know, decide Revelation, the Gospel of John, or anything else, Corinthians, etc.? How did you do that?
Well, I would just ask the Lord for guidance on where I should be reading. Or maybe it was something that I had said, okay, I'm going to read this book all the way through. And as I went through it, things came to mind, and it would reference another book in the Bible. And there was one that some text in one of the Old Testament books reminded me of something that I had seen in Revelation. And so I went there. And it was just, I found that if I tell God to, if I let him lead me, then that I can go where he goes. And I also found that when I write, this happened about 6 years ago when I started doing this for a poem, I would just pray and ask God to give me the words to lead me. And it always went somewhere I never thought it was going to go. And that's been the true blessing in this whole thing.
And you started writing when you were a teenager. So like I said, that is definitely a gift. But you think of writing when you're a teenager, starting there and ending up to where you are now. Did you ever think that would happen, that you'd have these books that would pour out of you?
No, I never did. You know, as a teenager, I was the kid with a broken heart or something like that. And I always thought, well, maybe I can grow up and write like John Lennon does, and I'm glad I don't. But no, I never thought that. Early on, I had submitted a short manuscript for publishing. It was called The Jesus Bones, but our family was just starting, and I didn't have the money at the time. Upon reflection, I realized that this period of time, and it's been 40 years in the waiting, that God was waiting for me to be ready. And a lot of what I read lately is waiting on God, because he knows the time. And I wasn't ready until just in the last few years, really, to do this and put it out for people to read.
Yeah. Here's what I love. You talked about your family, how long you've been married, the grandchildren, started when you were a teenager. And then you say, oh, but I also have a day job. What's your day job?
I work for a sewer and road building contractor in their estimating department. And I don't do any estimating, but I help the estimators. And I've been in that, in the engineering side of the business, since I got out of college. But it's part-time. And my wife, a few years ago, when my boss asked me, how long are you going to work before you retire? And I said, oh, another year. And I told my wife, she said, oh, no, you got 4 more years. So I'm down to about a year and a half that I have to work yet.
Oh, I love it. So funny. So the book is Living in God's Rhyme. You can certainly go to timcarterbooks.com or amazon.com. What do you hope that the readers take away from this?
My hope in people reading the book is that I'm just an average guy. I'm just that they can see them. Some of them see themselves in this, that, okay, I know I'm not perfect. And I'm not the guy who's written that book on self-help and telling me what I need to do and who is at that point in his life. I'm still growing in my faith. I still struggle. I had my faults, but God helps me overcome them. And I just hope that those who are in that position see that they're not the only ones and realize that there is hope and things can work out. Or that if someone who really doesn't picks it up and really doesn't know God, will read it and say, there's something here. You know, there's something about this guy and what's happened with him that I want to look into. And that's my hope.
Yeah, what a great way to end this. Tim, thank you so much. Really enjoyed our conversation. And again, Living in God's Rhyme, you can get it. I've said it now several times, Amazon.com. Thanks, Tim.
The Tebow Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Tehebo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tehebo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Interesting times of what we're talking about here in this country in this edition of For Your Health. Autism, in fact, there's a new character on Sesame Street that has autism, which I think is great because so many people are living with autism, dealing with autism, and the more we understand, the better. We have Paul Loudon with us. He's got a new book out called Behind the Locked Door, Understanding My Life as an Autistic. Author of this new book, Paul Loudon, understands personally what this is like as an autistic adult. So, Paul, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
All right, so let's go back to the beginning and realizing and understanding autism and wanting to share your story. First of all, what made you want to share your story?
It sort of happened by chance. It started as the person I was working with to help improve my symptoms and my situation. She had a radio show, and she invited me on as a guest with the intent to trick me into co-hosting it with her, which led to me learning and practicing talking about it. And it just sort of became a realization that I was more verbal than a lot of us on the spectrum and more able to explain things than a lot of us on the spectrum. And so it became clear that this was just something that I had an opportunity to do. I was in the right situation, and I really wanted to try to help people understand better some of the things we struggle with.
Yeah, so when you were a kid, when were you diagnosed with autism?
I was diagnosed at 23, so not a kid
at all. Yeah, not a kid. Yeah. So that means your family, so growing up, did you realize something was different? Did they realize something was different? I mean, that had to be difficult.
So a variety of factors played into my late diagnosis. One, I'm 34 now, so it was a decent amount of time ago. I was born in 1983. By the time I was, you know, an adolescent, it was more of the ADD craze, and I did get diagnosed with that. Before that, though, we also moved around a lot. My dad worked in oil, so we were overseas and then back in the U.S. and then overseas again and back in the U.S. And so while I was struggling with social things and a variety of other things, there was always that element of, well, you know, he's just left all of his friends behind and he's having to make new friends and meet new people and get used to living in a house with a wall around it or whatever. You know, there was always those elements. So it wasn't really until high school when we'd settled back in the States, and particularly when I left to try to go to college and things started falling apart, that we realized that something was seriously wrong and just how seriously wrong it was. And then fortunately enough, at about 21 or 22, I stumbled across an article about autism and particular Asperger's. And from reading that article, it gave me inspiration to go and consult with a neuropsychologist and seek diagnosis.
And what did the neuropsychologist tell you about the spectrum and Asperger's and all of that?
Honestly, not much. What I worked with her on was just the testing. So go in, parents go in and talk about her history. I take a variety of tests. Some of them are standard IQ tests, things like that. Other ones are ones focused more on autism. And then I got a diagnosis in the mail just telling me, you've got Asperger's. And from there, it was largely about research on my own, trying to learn more about it, read about other people's experiences with it, and try to spend a lot of time learning about myself and how I experience the world.
So in finding that diagnosis out, getting that in the mail, Asperger's, like you said, finding out more about yourself, what are the things that you have to battle as somebody who has Asperger's?
Well, first, I do prefer to just say I have autism now because the Asperger's diagnosis has been removed in the latest edition of the DSM, and I feel that's generally for the better in helping people recognize that it is one disorder and that those of us who may be higher functioning still often have significant challenges. I have severe challenges with self-management and motivation. I have a hard time upkeeping my living space, regularly paying bills. I regularly lost jobs just because I was a very extremely literal person, and so I actually read the employee handbook, and I would contradict my boss on things when he got things wrong, and that, you know, technically correct is not the good kind of correct, despite what Futurama may say. So there were a lot of issues all along the way, and so between that, some comorbid conditions, I have gut issues and things like that. I have sensory issues in particular relating to sound. So I've got a whole range of symptoms that provide me with struggles in day-to-day life.
You talk about communication. What parts of communication are challenging for people with autism?
One of the big things is that with autism, we're typically seen by people who don't have autism as missing a lot of things, that we don't pick up on, you know, facial expressions, body language, tone of voice. But we also tend to not use that as much ourselves, and we often feel that other people are missing carefully chosen words or very clear to us statements. And so it's sort of a two-way street where we communicate in a different way than the people around us do in many cases, but it's a situation where if we're in a room full of autistic people, support group or whatever, we often find that we feel pretty comfortable because the people around us communicate like we do. So a lot of times it's the implied communication, be it something like sarcasm or tone of voice or something like, you know, gee, that garbage can sure looks full, meaning would you mind taking out the garbage without actually saying it? And so there's a whole host of things that we tend to miss in communication, but we also feel like people misinterpret our communication in ways that we find surprising. For example, I might say I don't like McDonald's hamburgers. Now, to a typical person, that means the same thing as I dislike McDonald's hamburgers, but I might just mean it as saying, you know, I'll eat them, but they aren't on my list of things I actively seek out. You know, it's not a dislike, it's just also not a like. So I might be extremely technical in how I say things that people don't get, and that can often lead to someone being insulted or interpreting a statement as more negative than it is. And so there's a lot of conflicts of communication that benefit from both sides understanding that the other side communicates differently.
Oh, so agree with that. Powerful what you just said. What kind of advice would you offer up to parents to understand a little bit better a child who is autistic? Because, I mean, we know that that's a big struggle.
One of the biggest pieces of advice I give is that if they're communicating at all, be it verbal, be it nonverbal, such as actions or even just random sounds, place as much trust as you can in them, even if it doesn't make any sense to you. If they say, you know, that hurts, don't say, oh, come on, it's just a little, because sensory issues mean that it could feel a lot more severe to them in terms of hurting or being bright or being loud than it does to you. And so a lot of times you run into this situation where as you experience things, people keep telling you, oh, it's not a big deal, or I believe you can do it, and then you fail at it. You start to lose faith in your own decision-making process. It can be hard to trust yourself when no one around you trusts you. So wherever you can, trust their experiences and try to solve problems in ways that validate their expression of what they experienced with that problem.
Yeah, again, great advice. So you know this, the FDA is trying to find some insight from people with autism, so you would be one of those people. And given that, what would you tell them about treatments? And you've been talking about it, what you've done yourself, but what kind of treatments would you say the FDA should look at?
You know, one of the things that has helped me personally the most, I struggled a lot with depression, and when I finally found the right medication for my depression, it also helped with my anxiety somewhat. And I discovered that a lot of times I was spending 10, 20, 30% of my energy on managing anxiety, which meant that I only had 70% on dealing with additional stuff from autism, and then additional stuff from autism would increase my anxiety, making it even harder. And so as I got my anxiety under control, my ability to deal with some of my autism struggles, things that would normally bother me dramatically, like if someone at a nearby table had their children watching videos without headphones, it used to make me so tense and so stressed that I'd be doing everything to get out of the restaurant as soon as I can. I'd be like, okay, I want to pay my bill, I want to leave, I need to get someplace more in my control. And now it's just sort of like, eh, it happens. So I found that a lot of times what helps, and I've heard this from other people, is treating not the autism, but the other conditions that often go along with it. You know, if they have gut issues, finding out if a dietary solution can help with that, pay attention to nutrition issues, pay attention to any other comorbid symptoms. Seizures are common in individuals with autism, subclinical seizures, so you don't even see them happening, but they can cause someone to appear to, you know, lose the idea mid-sentence and stare off into the distance or whatever, where it's, the brain has a seizure internally that doesn't show up as the stereotypical physical expression of a seizure that a lot of people think of. So there's a lot of comorbid conditions with autism, and I think that, you know, while we don't really have a good idea for medications to treat autism itself, there's a lot that goes along with it that we can treat that can really help people struggling with autism be more comfortable and then better able to interact with their therapists, their therapy, their family, their educators, anyone around them in more positive and constructive ways.
All right, great place to end this. Great stuff. Paul Loudon, the book is Behind the Locked Door, Understanding My Life as an Autistic. Pick it up. I'm assuming, Paul, people can get it on Amazon, right?
Absolutely. People can get it on Amazon or loudononautism.com. to find out more about me and see some of my videos and blog posts.
Great. Paul, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Poudiarco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Poudiarco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Poudiarco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.